Hostile work environment.
No, this is not a work environment. Sorry.
It's an HR action. You're
towing
a line.
No HR.
I know.
We're barely human, and we're certainly not resources. Anyway, last year, my GP doctor dropped me after several years because I hadn't gone and seen her in the middle of a pandemic, apparently.
I remember you talking about.
I had to make a last-minute appointment for a very minor thing with my ear. And I still had to wait for a month to get a new doctor, but I just picked the first doctor that came up, and I went to see him, and by that time, the ear thing had cleared itself up, but I had a new GP. And then I had I had some arthritis issues a few months later. That was last fall. So, and then I tried to make another appointment, and I was going to have to wait months again. So my wife said, just, you know, switch to use my doctor. She's really good. And I know this doctor's really good. And anybody related to my wife, she is the ultimate vet for, she's a veterinarian, but she's very good at vetting doctors because she sees so many of them.
Right.
So anyways, okay, fine. I'll just use your doctor. So I went and saw her last week. And then yesterday I had to go and take my son for his annual appointment to the doctor I saw last fall. So the GP that I switched to last fall, I was going to see again, literally a week after I had switched away from him to another GP. I was like, well, that could be a little awkward. So I went in thinking, you know, I'm just going to say, you know, the deal is I just came to you as a last minute kind of thing last fall, and you were just kind of a stopgap measure on the way to my new GP. So it's not like I dumped you for any specific reason.
Right.
I never got a chance to explain that to him because he didn't seem to recognize me. And I thought, well, that makes it a lot easier to, A, not have to explain why I dropped him as his GP after 6 months, or my GP, but also made me feel really good about dropping him as my GP.
Yes.
Since he didn't remember me. Don't doctors remember their patients once in a while?
I would think they would, but you only saw him once.
Is that
once?
Too much to ask?
You only saw him once?
I only saw him once, but I think I make an impression. Don't I make an impression?
Yes, you do.
Okay, maybe I don't. Maybe I'm not as special as I think.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you found a different doctor.
The other problem that I had, which has left me a little bit discombobulated, was I went outside yesterday. Why did I go outside? I took the trash out. And when I go in the back, I like to go out in my backyard and wander around sometimes after I throw the trash out. I don't know why. I just do.
Okay.
Like an old man, like trying to figure out where is the entrance to his house is again or something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, that's curious. There's a can of cat food in our backyard.
What?
It looks like someone's been trying to get into it, but it hasn't been perforated. And so I'm like, well, that's weird. So I pick it up and I throw it out, and I come back and I wander through my backyard again, and I discover a heavily damaged can of what had previously been a can of cat food. I mean, it was almost unrecognizable how destroyed this thing had been. It almost looked like someone had driven over it with a car, but also punctured it in several places with what can only be described as canine teeth.
Ew.
So to back up a little bit, we sometimes feed our neighbor's cats when he's away. So we have a stockpile of really crummy cat food, canned cat food that he likes to feed his cats.
Yeah.
And we store that in the corner of our house in one of the rooms. And apparently my dog discovered.
She's eating the cat food?
Yeah. She took four cans out and was able to get into three of them. This is especially bad because she has pancreatitis. And she is on a very careful diet to make sure she doesn't activate that pancreatitis again. So suffice it to say, the wife went a little bit, not crazy, but she got
upset.
Appropriately upset. Vet mode activated.
Right.
So we tried to get the dog to vomit, which, you know, we actually used twice the normal dosage for her weight.
Mm-hmm.
And she still wouldn't vomit. So we wound up in the emergency room with her last night.
Oh, no.
And thankfully, apparently, she had only that day and only very recently discovered this hidden gem of cat food in our house, because when they did get her to vomit at the clinic, they discovered about three cans of cat food in
there. Oh, for God's sake.
So she hadn't, thankfully, she hadn't absorbed much of it. So a little bit of luck, she won't have triggered her pancreatitis.
Right, because cat food
killed herself.
Yeah, she would have killed herself. Oh, my God.
She very well could have. But anyway, that was yesterday. And I feel like I'm still living in the repercussions of that. I guess that happens as you get older.
Well, our animals are our family. And it's like a family member. I mean, it is a family member who's going through some trauma. Even though it's self-inflicted.
That's 6 minutes of my nonsensical stuff.
Okay.
You got anything, Catherine?
I was going to ask you if you have any tattoos. Did you not see that coming?
What do you think?
I'm thinking no.
I don't have any goddamn tattoos.
Okay. I've wanted one for a while, and I designed a couple, and I just wanted to know if there was anywhere that you would recommend in Phoenix. So if anyone's listening.
Oh, you want to know where to get it done, not where to have it put on.
No, I have like ideas of where I want it.
Because I was going to say, obviously, right on your forehead.
Right on my forehead.
If you're not going to put it on your forehead, why do you even bother?
Just like a big target.
Why even bother?
Well, didn't Charles Manson had one on his forehead, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had the swastika.
What a...
I don't remember if it was the right way around or the wrong way around.
I know. Well, the wrong way around means like nature and good stuff.
Sure. Sure it does.
I mean.
We're not in India anymore. Okay. Sorry.
So help me find a tattoo shop.
You know, the gallery I had in Houston was next door to a tattoo place.
Ah.
Head shop, tattoo place. They'd do anything for money.
That sounds interesting.
They were a cool guy. I got along with them very well. Every time I went over them to ask them to turn down their music, they were always very apologetic and turned it down so I could only slightly hear it less than I did before.
So that's basically all I had. I was just looking for a tattoo shop. I have my designs. I've sketched it out. I'm ready to roll.
Are you going to tell us what your tattoo you want?
Oh, the first one I want.
First one?
The first one.
Wow. This is getting worrisome.
I want a little phoenix. I did kind of a dotted little phoenix bird.
Now, is this a phoenix like the city of Phoenix phoenix, or is this just a completely separate kind of phoenix?
It's not the city of Phoenix phoenix. Okay. I don't like that logo.
You don't like the city of Phoenix logo? Well, that's crazy. That's a fantastic, I don't know. I think it's one of the best things about Phoenix is that logo.
Okay, maybe I'll have to relook at it. I don't know.
Anyway.
But so I don't want the city. Okay. I don't want to be identified with the city. Yeah. Let's just go.
Fair enough. Right.
And then I want like a little, I want a little purple heart.
Why a purple heart? Why, first of all, why a phoenix?
I have lived here for a long time, but I like the whole concept of rebirth. And so that's what I wanted it for, not for phoenix.
Okay.
And then I wanted like something, I was trying to draw out something with like three, you know, to symbolize my family, you know, like the three of us. I wanted something, but I can't come up with anything kind of cool.
That sounds a little biblical.
Yeah, like the Trinity. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to go there.
She was hot, by the way.
Who, Trinity?
Yeah, from The Matrix. I dig brunettes. Short
Trinity
hair.
Trinity from The Matrix. Boy. Oh, yeah.
She aged well, and she still acted well, too.
I was going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say she aged well.
So you wanted something, some kind of Trinity to represent your family, but then you also glossed over the Purple Heart.
Oh, I just like the Purple Heart.
Were you injured in combat?
No. But it's kind of a BTS thing, too, and then it's subtle. Just okay. Don't go there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
Moving on.
How many BTS people are there?
Seven.
In the crew? Seven. So I'm assuming you wind up with seven tattoos. Why don't you just get one of each of them?
No. I'm not going to put people's faces on my body.
And then when you go see them in concert and see them backstage, you can walk them through like the tour of your body of each one, each tattoo.
Yeah, that'll
of them
be so exciting for them.
In different places. And you explain, well, I chose you, Jim, and I chose you to be on my left breast for this reason.
No, it's never going to happen.
Well, it seems like an opportunity lost.
Yes. Thank God. Thank God.
So you don't know what you want to do for the Trinity one, or are you just...
I don't know. I was like messing around with like little hearts for the Trinity, and it just seemed cuckoo. And then I tried little circles, and it reminded me of the Olympics, and I did a three, and I was just kind of no ideas are popping, so... Help me design a tattoo, James.
Netflix for your dad just says Netflix on it. Your mom can be like broken pottery or something. And then you, I don't know, crazy white woman.
Crazy white woman.
What best describes Catherine?
I don't know. Like we're done with that. I'm not going anywhere.
Moving on. A 4,500-year-old head of a Canaanite goddess was found in a field. I just love that stuff happens.
Right. The goddess of beauty, love, and war.
That's a weird mix.
It's everything. What's her name? Anat?
I don't know. How about that for being educated? I don't know. So what was special about that article?
Well, she was made of limestone. It was muddy. He washed her off. They said it was a statue. It was just a head. And now it's residing in the, I don't know if I can pronounce this because... Khazar al-Bashah, the historic building that's serving as one of Gaza's few museums, it said.
Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking that Gaza's really that much of a destination for
I know, it doesn't seem like
tourism.
A destination spot, no.
At least not for that kind of tourism. But, you know, Banksy has his hotel there, so maybe you should go.
I won't be going to Gaza anytime soon.
Okay.
If I can't make it to California, I'm not going to there. But anyway, they said it was proof that Palestine had a history.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but okay. That's like nearly 4,000 years before Islam is a thing, and I think Palestinians are mostly Islamic, so I'm not really... I don't even know if it's the same people who inhabit that area.
Right.
That's just a silly thing to say. Isn't that literally cultural appropriation when you're trying to say, hey, that's my culture.
That's my head.
That's weird.
Let's just say we're happy they found the head.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And it had a snake on top of it.
It had a snake on top of it.
That was the weirdest thing. Man, ancient humans were so weird and so much more interesting than modern humans.
They really were. They really were. So I'm glad they found the head. I'm glad it's in a museum-ish. And I hope they find more. I wish they'd found the body.
Well, I'm just glad that they found it now as opposed to, you know, a few years ago when Hamas was destroying more things than sharing. So,
good point.
Of course, if the Taliban had found it, they probably would have smashed it.
They would have smashed it. James, have you ever bought a house with a basement that you didn't know was there and then found boxes from the 1960s filled with clothes and memorabilia?
Yeah, like every other house I buy is like that.
Really?
No, but it is strange that you bring that up because that literally is one of my most common reoccurring dreams is I'm literally buying a house in my dream and then I find, usually it's a whole wing, somehow they have hidden the wing of the house.
Oh, wow.
Or it's like an entrance to a huge expanding mindscape. Caverns and whatnot, like the Bat Cave.
Oh my goodness.
This vibed with me. I don't know what that means. Obviously, I've got some issues.
Yeah, a hidden basement that appeared to be hidden only by hangers and some things hanging in front of it. I'm not sure how hidden it was. Who did the home inspection?
Oh, well, home inspectors are usually awful. You really have to be careful about what... Anyway, I don't want to talk about home inspectors now because that's a whole TikTok episode.
Okay.
But I think you missed the point. It was actually in a hidden door in a closet.
Oh, I missed the point.
Yeah, it was a badly written article, so I understand that you would have missed that. Apparently, they didn't even clean out the home. So talk about home inspectors. They didn't even clean out the home because she says she went to grab one of these bags that was there when they bought the house, and it was in the back of the closet, and she's like pulling on it, and it won't come down. And after a minute of trying to get it off, this door pops open.
Oh, wow.
Like 3 millimeters, I think they said 3 millimeters. Communists, they were using metric system or something.
I use a metric system.
When do you use a metric system?
It was always easier. Just keep talking.
Oh, that's right. If you're a nurse, I get it, right? Yeah. CCs, that makes sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. What more? That's it.
I just thought it was interesting because it's like, gosh, people are finding all kinds of stuff.
Talk about bonus room. Well, it's just really lucky that they didn't find, a dead body.
I know, like calcified hands or something.
Yeah, they just found a bunch of junk, like a bunch of boxes that they packed up and didn't send anywhere. I don't know. It was a little bit of a letdown that there wasn't anything more interesting going on.
I know. I wanted it to be, you know, the head of a Canaanite statue or something.
I know this came from Reddit and you said Reddit confused you, but I also, you know, Reddit is a weird thing. I find it fairly useful because people get on there and can, we could have a Reddit, actually. We could have our own subreddit for a subrant.
Subreddit rant.
Well, you know, subrant kind of came from the idea of a subreddit.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just glad that we're on board with the where the show came from.
I just remember naming it.
I think you did. It was all part of the naming process.
For our anniversary episode, we'll launch our subreddit.
Okay, great.
So we can start getting some feedback.
Exactly. That's where our 13 listeners can go and talk to each
other. Right. We're down to 13. I thought we were at 30.
Up. It's going. We were. No, no, no.
Oh, we were at 12?
I don't know. I'm just saying the last time, I was actually a little bit surprised the last time I did an upload that the previous episode had gotten that many listens already because that was less than a week. And it usually takes a couple of weeks before we get up to about 20 or 30 listens. So I was like, wow, that's
great.
Are you making more friends out there, Catherine?
I'm always marketing. Always be marketing.
Because I think I have fewer friends this week than last because, you know, that whole doctor thing.
Yeah, you lost one. I'm up a few.
You know, I think I'm just bad for the podcast in general. I mean, do you remember how the last one ended?
It just ended.
No, it's like the worst podcast ever, and that's where I decided to end it.
Oh, I don't think it's the worst podcast ever.
I don't think I take this podcast seriously, Catherine. I think you need to get a better editor.
I think you do take it seriously. I think you take it way serious.
Well, I don't know. Here's something. What? I'll do a positive thing for the podcast. Are you ready? Where this is episode 44 of the podcast, and now we're just getting around to thinking about, hey, you know what? Maybe I should mention that we have an Instagram and Twitter account.
Oh, there you go. Shout out to our social media.
Took us 44 episodes to remember that we had other social media platforms, and maybe we should talk about them and have people engage with them. Then we get more listeners, and we can get advertising, and we can, you know, go buy new cars.
I need a new car.
Or a new house with a secret basement.
Or a new house anywhere in Phoenix.
God, I would love to be wealthy enough just to go to a realtor and say, you know what? I want a new house. This is my price range, but it has to have a secret basement.
Right.
How crazy is that? If you're a regular person, you can't go and tell the realtor that.
No.
Because they're not, you know, how is a realtor supposed to react to this? Like, a secret basement. Okay. How do I find a secret basement that's secret?
Secret.
I don't.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
Messing with realtors. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying we need to be millionaires before we can screw around like that. Can't do that until you have millions of dollars.
Yeah, we can't. I'll probably never screw around like that at this point.
Threatened to buy Tesla from Elon Musk. How about that?
Well, if you're looking for a secret basement, could you find it in Phoenix? And the question is, if you found it in Phoenix, could you actually even afford it, even if you were a millionaire?
Oh, God.
Given that, like, the housing prices are increasingly out of reach for locals.
For everyone.
For everyone. What's happening?
Phoenix has gone up 45% since last year.
Crazy.
As I have said many times, I love Phoenix. And one of the things I loved about Phoenix was that it had, at the time we moved here anyway, it had affordable housing. It no longer has affordable housing.
No.
A big part of what makes Phoenix awesome is now just gone.
A lot of what makes Phoenix awesome is gone.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
we still have the weather that we have, and we still have all the trails that we have, and we still have a lot of Costco's.
Right. You do like the trails.
Trails are awesome.
Yeah, I was shocked at that, because I know in this neighborhood, I mean, things have really gone up, and the houses, they put them up for these, what I consider an exorbitant price. When they bought this house, it was way, way, way inexpensive. And they're just flipping them like crazy. Not flipping them to flip them. I mean, they're selling them outright. You know, you see some work being done, someone already invested in it, and then they just sell them for like so much more than I ever would imagine in this neighborhood.
The prices are insane.
It's just silly.
But this is a list of housing markets that have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Almost exponential. That's not really exponentially, but it sounds good. Let's just redefine exponential because we like the way it sounds.
Exponential.
Do you want to read off the list? Or
go ahead. I think you should do more talking.
I don't need to talk any. I do most of the talking on this podcast as it is because I'm repressing the female voices. That's what I do as a white man. That's just my privilege. Anyway.
Okay.
There's Tampa, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Orlando, Jacksonville, Nashville, Austin, Fort Worth, Anaheim, Dallas, and National. Oh, wait, that's just National. All of that list of places, there aren't that many places there that I would actually want to live in, but those are the places that are booming as far as housing prices go.
Maybe Austin, but then it's in Texas. Ew, no, just stay. Just say no.
Well, it's not that far from the Hill Country, and the Hill Country is kind of nice. I'd rather live in the Hill Country. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the Hill Country is a place in Texas, which is not far from Austin and Dallas, right. But it's it's a little bit more mountainous and it's a little bit more rural.
But it's in Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so they're moving from these pricier like cities. They have a lot of cash, right? I mean, it's kind of like when some friends of mine moved from Oahu and they came here and bought like this incredible place and then moved and bought another incredible place in Cave Creek. Just cash. It was so out of my realm, like, you know, it, just the amount of money they were spending, but they got so much for their place in Hawaii.
Okay. That's all very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that just blew my mind.
What?
Is that while we're here on the podcast, you think it's a good time to do your nails?
I just had a, this was
I
like.
I don't know if I could hear that through my mic from my headset, but I don't know if that, hopefully that will be on the recording. I could literally hear you and now you're biting your nails.
No, it just like something snagged and it's bugging me and hurt. I had to get rid of it. Okay.
Okay. Anyway. So this podcast needs a new editor. We've established that. I think it also needs a new co-host or two new hosts.
No, two new hosts. No, we're not abandoning the podcast. We're just getting started.
Just for the sake of the podcast.
I'm sorry, I had to do that. It was just bugging me. Anyway, so people are moving here.
And Las Vegas. Why Las Vegas?
Why Las Vegas?
Jacksonville. Come on, people. Be a little more imaginative.
I know. I could see Phoenix because people always flood here from the coast. I mean, after the earthquakes, you know, they took over Prescott Valley, which surprising. You know, and now maybe they're flooding the fires. But my question, James, I do have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
I have a question. They're moving from the coasts, which allegedly can see, you know, seawater rising, and there's a ton of fires up and down California. Are they the first climate refugees?
No.
Okay.
No, there are small islands in the Pacific that have genuinely the first climate refugees because they're losing their islands currently.
That is a real thing.
So I don't mean to get real on you, but no, these are not climate refugees. These are the exact opposite. These are people who have more money than sense and decide they want to move someplace because they like the weather, I think, primarily.
Well, they're going to have
Or Las Vegas if you like to go to stripper clubs or something. I don't know. Gambling and stuff like that. Las Vegas, it's just...
Yeah, I don't vibe with Vegas anymore. I spent 10 days there once. I just never left.
I could live there because they have trails out there too, and I like the desert, and it's desert. I just would never go downtown.
Yeah. And I like the proximity to St. George, Utah, and some of that. I think that's really pretty up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing we have out here in the middle of the Southwest. we have all these great national parks just not that far away.
Right.
It's like if you live in Texas, Costco is probably an 8-hour drive for you. That's just normal for people in Texas to drive 8 hours just to go to work or to go to the grocery store or to go to the dentist or whatnot.
Because it's so big, 8 hours to go to the dentist.
Exactly. Well, they do that for the vets. They will drive across the state to go to their own veterinarian.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, when Jennifer was at A&M University, that's where she did her residency, she regularly get A&M alumni who wanted to drive halfway across the state just so they could use, sometimes they had to because that's that they had the best specialists for some things. And some other times they just wanted to go to their alma mater because A&M people are a little weird. Aggie's a little weird.
Interesting. Well, I found it interesting that they were moving to Phoenix and Las Vegas. Those are probably the two places that I wouldn't think of moving if I were moving here. Particularly since 2011. Well, I mean, we're already here, but like since 2011, I mean, Phoenix was identified as the least sustainable city in this country. Tucson was up there. Albuquerque was up there. St. George, Utah, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas. They were on the list. And so I'm just like, you know, what's going to happen when these people who are leaving wherever they're leaving and, you know, raising prices so I can't even move out of this dump? You know, have to sell high and buy high, you know, and it's like when they realize that they just moved to another icky place.
It's not icky. It's just, somewhat problematic as far as water usage goes. Aside from it's fine.
Yeah. I'm not convinced. But maybe that's just me. A lot's changing in Phoenix.
You know, I think one thing that could help Phoenix be a little more interesting is if we painted our streets as per Axios article about the painting streets. They say that if you paint the street corners... intersections, you can reduce crashes and fatalities and injuries by a significant amount. And it was an interesting article. They didn't really explain why. I don't think anyone really knows what the causal mechanism is there yet because it's kind of a new thing. But just imagine your intersection painted, you know, either just brightly with bright colors and patterns or maybe like a maze or something. Something, it doesn't have to be like a Michelangelo work of art.
No, that would be distracting.
Well, here's the thing. It's more engaging. And I was wondering, I thought about it for a while. I was thinking, maybe when you paint your intersections, and everyone has a little bit different flair to it. You know, we're not saying paint them all the same.
Right.
Because I think that would lose what it's doing. I think what's happening is that if you see a painted intersection, you get a little bit more sense of place and a little more sense of community and a little more connection. You're not just driving in a grid.
Right.
Mindlessly driving through a grid. You're driving through a neighborhood now. And I think maybe that connects you a little more with the community and you're maybe driving a little more safely because of that. Instead of just trying to blast through and get to wherever you're going, maybe I'm just imagining and being overly hopeful about how humans work. But that's what I was thinking. As to your point, though, about what you should paint on it, my first thought was, well, you know, just a big hole. Do a trompe-l'oeil of a gaping hole in the middle of the intersection. That would slow traffic down.
That would slow traffic down, but it would also
probably cause more pedestrian fatalities because people would be driving up on the sidewalk to get around the hole.
Right.
The hole. Also, I realized when I was thinking about that is I have no idea how to spell trompe-l'oeil.
I have some idea, but who cares?
Do you know what?
Who
so cares? I assume you know what trompe-l'oeil is. Just to make sure,
yes,
that our listeners know it is when you're painting something to make it look real, like a good example is if you have just a column that you put in your house, but you want people to think it's marble, you paint it to make it look like it's marble. It's not marble, just looks like marble. Or you can paint a window on the wall and you're trying to make it look like it's an actual window.
Right. It's kind of like if you rewind to like the 1990s art, the people were just painting. Remember, they would just hire people and they'd go all trompe l'oeil in their
what
walls.
What you're talking about. That sounds crazy.
No,
the
they
1990s
did that.
Or the 1890s?
No, the 1990s. A friend of mine had her whole like kitchen redone with these trompe l'oeil cabinets, and it looked like vines and shit.
Just because your freaky friends were doing crazy stuff in the 90s doesn't mean the rest of us were.
It was a thing. Google it.
Don't you assault me with Google again.
In the Arts District, they have murals. I find that I always want to just look at them instead of driving. There's some nice art down there.
Yeah, that's not trompe l'oeil. Those are murals.
Yeah, well, that's not trompe l'oeil at all.
Some murals can be trompe l'oeil.
But I'm saying in terms of street art, if you will.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, that's as close to art as we're getting this week, I guess. The art podcast about everything but art.
I think we're yet to become our final form.
Oh, no. We're still do art. We forget. So, Catherine, aside from the housing prices having skyrocketed here in Phoenix, why are other reasons why artists may not, or people, you know, artists or people, because they're not the same, would not want to move to Phoenix now?
Well, I don't know if they'd not want to move to Phoenix, but I went to the Arts District last Saturday. We actually went down to what used to be the old Phoenix Public Market, and they're moving. And but we drove through, and I got really disoriented driving down. I haven't been down there. And there's so much construction and so many things are gone. And so like a lot of the old, some of those buildings were crappy, but a lot of the vibe was gone for me. I was really disoriented. So I don't know. I mean, is the Arts District still up and coming? Are they fronting? I mean, what's going on?
I don't know. You tell me. I haven't been down there. And I never really understood the art scene in Phoenix.
That's what you said. No, there were
everywhere
just
else. I've lived or visited every other time I've tried to interact with an arts district. I could kind of figure it out pretty quickly, but here I just still don't get it.
Right. Roosevelt was just becoming high-rises, or Phoenix's version of high-rises. It's not necessarily super high.
Well, it makes sense. It's downtown.
It's downtown.
That's where you would put residential stuff.
Right. But it was kind of sad to me,
Where are the artists now? I mean,
I think they're still there.
They don't have a lot of money, so... Oh, are they? Okay.
Well, they're still there, and I think a lot of them moved up to Grand, but now they're gentrifying Grand, too. Mm-hmm. You know? But they push out, you know, they push out artists.
Yeah, and that's a natural progression. Mm-hmm. How do you keep an arts community going? Because you're generally dealing with people who don't have a lot of income to pay for housing.
Right.
Or workspace. So it's a conundrum. You don't have a solution for that?
I don't have a solution for that. But I was just disoriented. And but there are some cool things going on down there.
Like what?
Have you been to the Churchill? It's like this little...
No, I haven't. No. Okay. Describe the Churchill to me.
I don't know. I heard some music, and we were just walking up First Street. There was some tents, and there were some crafty thing going on. And it just looked like it was made out of containers, like storage containers. And
shipping
when you walked
containers?
In, like shipping containers, right. And it looked like a little mixed-use space. There was an open area space. People were sitting there drinking, you know, beers and stuff. And then there was music playing. And then around the periphery were like almost like at a mall food court. They had but really nice little restaurants. And then there were a couple retail spaces. It actually was quite charming.
Well, it sounds like it's not completely dead then.
No, it's not completely dead. But they tried the same thing with the DeSoto building, and that closed. So I hope the Churchill has a better
Well, so what run. Were they using the containers for?
This building, the whole Churchill, it appeared to be made from shipping containers.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb. People have been trying to shoehorn those into all kinds of residential and business structures for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the economics of it, they just generally don't make a lot of sense. Because you have a lot of work. You have to do a lot of work to convert a shipping container into a livable space, and that work you could just use all that work and effort and materials into building something from scratch. Usually, you have such strict requirements. You know that they're not very big. They're I think 8 feet wide by 8 feet tall by 20 to 40 feet long, and by the time you put in any kind of insulation in there. Well, you're down to like 7 feet by 7 feet by 40 feet. And that's not the most comfortable space. That's a pretty short ceiling.
No, this was a huge space. I don't know if they chop them up.
You can chop them up, but again, that's a lot of work to chop them up and to weld them back together. And you're cutting and welding and then fabricating, and yeah, you're just better off starting from scratch in most cases.
It was just an interesting use of some, you know, repurposed materials, and it kind of kept with the, I don't know, it just had this kind of urban chic vibe, kind of this grungy slash we're trying to be cool. I liked it. I mean, you should go down there. I mean, I don't know that I'll be spending any amount of time down there. I haven't been to First Friday in a while.
Surprised and pleased to find out that you actually went out.
I did go out. Yes, we walked around the market. They're relocating off of McKinley.
You know, I'm sure there are some places or some instances where using a shipping container for a house or some kind of, well, certainly for a short storage set, it makes sense. But a lot of places, it doesn't. I mean, as I've said before, it's made out of Core 10, so it's designed to rust only a little bit and then stay really solid for a long time after that. And they're structurally very sound. You don't have to really put a lot of foundation under them to keep them upright. But beyond that, they get pretty finicky pretty fast because they don't really have a door or window. And
no.
If you want doors and windows, you got to get a cutting torch and start cutting it, or a grinder. You really want to spend a lot of time on it. It's not the most ideal building block.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what's going on downtown.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you can go out again and give us another report next week.
Another report.
You're on the street.
On
Eyewitness
the street.
News.
On the street. Art someday on the street.
You should ask me about my theory on Eyewitness News, how it destroyed our news in the country.
We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah, we'll put a pin on it. And I think we will put a pin in this episode
Sounds
of the podcast.
Good. Sounds good.